Yeah, welcome to this program. And I'll talk today a bit on the cycle of time, which is a big topic, and how our mindset and the karma, which is attached to our mindset, plays a very crucial role. And I highlight a little bit, I will jump in and out of science, what science has to say. I'll give you also some overview on quantum physics, which is very weird. And there's a microphone, and in between I will ask for some interaction, some questions, some feedback from you, and we also do time to time some meditation. So it will be more experience oriented. So let's first start with the cycle of time. You know, when I came in Gyan and I came to the center in Frankfurt, and they told me, yeah, golden age is coming. And I liked it very much. And they said, yeah, destruction. I said, yeah, the end is coming. Fantastic. And because I could feel something is fishy with the world, and it's in a bad shape. But, you know, nobody really told me that the cycle will repeat identical. And after, I think, 2 or 3 months, somehow in the Murli or something was there. And I said, what? It means in 5,000 years we do the same stuff again? And they said, yeah. So that was a bit something for me to digest. Because I started thinking, And actually, I did a bit of research. There's hardly anybody in the world who believes that. We're pretty unique. And the 5,000 years, we're also pretty unique. However, that the world is coming to the end, this has become mainstream. You see, I'm part of the Environment Initiative, and we go to the climate conference since 15 years. And 15 years ago, they told us, oh, you yogis, we just take money and technology and strategy and we'll fix everything. Climate change, no problem. Now, in the last climate conference in Sharm el-Sheikh and before also in Glasgow, people were quite frustrated because it seems money is not fix it, strategy is not fixing it, and technology, the man, they like technology, you know. Technology is also not fixing it. So they come now, these people, and this, and they can feel that the end is coming. And end has become mainstream. You know the speeches of Antonio Guterres, who is the Secretary General of United Nations. Sometimes he says, it's doom. It's doom, or we do something now, otherwise it's doom. We are totally doomed and this will be death and catastrophe. These are the words which are being used. And there's an interesting book by Kate Mack, and it's called The End of Everything. The End of Everything, The Ultimate Destruction. It's a very nice book, I just got it, and I'm trying to read it. You know, and but it's not too technical. You can read it. And it's quite interesting because it talks of the end of everything, of our reality, but also of personal death. You know, because the end of the universe or the world will also mean our own personal end, which is quite some drama. Because we're going to face the big enemy. Who's our big enemy? Who knows it? Who's our big enemy? No, not body conscious, not body. That's nothing. Body conscious. It's much worse. No, Ravan is, that's a puppet. Puppet controlled by Baba. No, it's death. You know? Because 64 lives we have been body conscious and we died. You know, we became rich, we became famous. Imagine you become rich. In this life, you're not super rich, and you're not a super famous singer. a TV star, but imagine you are, you know, and then death comes and everything finishes. It's very bad. It's unfair. They call death also quite unfair. So we're dealing with death, and we all not always died happily and harmoniously flying out of our body. You know, sometimes death was tough, you know. And have you seen people die? Have you been there when people die? No, it's quite an experience, no, when somebody dies. It's not always nice. It can be quite tough. So, and this lady, she describes five major ends of the universe from a physical viewpoint. One is called the Big Crunch. Everything is crunched like a black hole. One is called the Heat Death. The universe expands and expands and expands and expands, and then nothing is left over. There's expansion, then there's emptiness, and only then background radiation is left over. That's it. That's the Big Heat Death. Then the Big Rip, I don't understand what that means, but it's also the end of everything. The vacuum decay, I also have to read that up. And then the bounce. And the bounce is quite interesting, because the bounce means actually that our universe is collapsing and then it is expanding again and it's bouncing back. And then it goes into total expansion and then it's bouncing back again. And that she calls the big bounce. You know? And that is a one I like most, because it fits somehow a bit with our Gyan. I will come a little bit later. But imagine, you know, this universe. Can you see that actually? This light is very funny, because it's actually illuminating also this. Huh? Huh? Can you switch off this light? And this focus light, and maybe... Okay, I don't know. It's very funny. Anyhow. Okay. So interestingly... Okay, you can see. Interestingly, in Hinduism... they have the cycle of time as a traditional belief system. And they got something wrong with the numbers. You know, in Hinduism, they have four epochs, also four ages also. But one age is 4.3 million years. 4.3 million years. It's better? Huh? Okay. Now I'm a bit dark, but okay. So, so it's one. It's 4.3 billion years is one epoch in Hinduism, and they have the saying from end to end, and it's quite interesting. So, in Hinduism, you are actually quite close somehow to that. What also Baba tells us, which is naturally because this is Baba's homeland, you know, and some of the knowledge must have been somewhere in our memories, and so when we wrote the scriptures and came up with concepts, we came also up with this idea of the cycle. And that we are in the end time is quite clear. If you look in the Yajna, and you can see there are a lot of signals, and Baba has told us about these signals also. I remember a long time ago, Baba said, time will come, I will have told you everything, and I will not come anymore. And I was sitting then and listening, and I thought, okay. It was a long time ago, 20, 30 years ago, and Baba was coming, and Daddy was coming, and it was going on and going on and going on. And then Daddy got slowly a bit sick, she started trembling a lot, you know, and then... I remember also last time Baba came, it was, I think, 2017, because we inaugurated India One Power Plant with Baba. And Dadi Gulzar was already quite sick, means she was, body was not strong and she was trembling a lot, but Baba was in her, you know. You could feel it and see it and hear it. Bab Dada was there. It's quite interesting. And after that, Dadi went to Bombay and she never came back. And Baba said, this is also a signal that I will not come any longer. And I will have told you everything. Do you feel Baba has told us everything, or you still feel something is lacking? Huh? Everything, no? Baba, we have to implement now, we have to become. But Baba actually told us everything. So, the signs in time that this is the last chapter of Yajna is Baba's program has changed. Dadis and seniors are less and less in numbers. Tapasya becomes more and more important. No? Meditation becomes more and more important. And in the world, we have wars. We have climate change, which is quite serious now. You all experience it probably at your home place now. You look in the news everywhere now. Disaster, rain, flooding, heat wave. Europe is going into another drought. Whole Europe will be drought and heat wave in the summer. California is being flooded. And wherever you look, and even now the weather here in Mount Abu is very, very odd. This rain and cold, you know, very odd weather. Should be dry, sunshine and hot. Loss of biodiversity is also a big signal. Insects are disappearing. Animals are disappearing. They call this extinction. The time of the age of extinction also. And then corona crisis, you know. I was here when the full lockdown happened in India, which was very interesting story. And I traveled in full lockdown back after 3 months. Full lockdown. It was like an apocalyptic movie. And now they just read today that there's another corona subvariant is now making the round in India. So people get coughing and this and that. But in India, no testing. Nobody cares too much. So just take care. You know, it's apparently pretty mild. So just take care. But other things may come. You know, this chicken flu. And so many other things are there which are quite dangerous and are jumping now from animals to humans. And humans' immune system has also become weak. So these are quite a lot of things going on. And then we have also can see economic breakdown, which will lead to social disorder also. You see a lot of countries now, demonstration, upheaval, because there's less money, less income, less wealth to distribute. All this is merging into a crisis of our planet. It's a crisis of civilization. It's a planetary crisis. And it's all coming now full force to us. So these are all signals of the end. And what will happen? Earthquake, flood, drought, cold heat waves, storms, cyclones, hurricanes, pollution, disease, epidemic, social, economic breakdown. This is all what's in the pipeline. The big question is, are the bhikkhus ready? Are you ready to face Jamela? In India they call it Jamela. Who's ready? Hands up. Okay. Half of the hands are going up. Good. It's quite something. You know? It's quite something. And sometimes bhikkhus already experience it. No? We had some experiences. Okay. So we are in the end time. And in the end time, people consider this also being a chance. And in end times, people also want to know what's going on. Very, very, very deeply they want to know, why is this going to happen? What is the purpose behind it and all this? So a lot of scientists are asking these questions. And asking questions in science started already 2,000 years ago. There's a very famous analogy or very famous example. It's called Plato's Cave. Have you heard about it? Plato's Cave? It's a very good, it's an example of, in philosophy it was used. I think Plato was writing to Socrates and about reality. And so the whole story was that people are sitting in a cave. Huh? They're sitting here in the cave and they're chained to the cave and they cannot move their head. And the whole life they're sitting in the cave and they can only see shadows. And people here are walking and they have the horses and this and there's a fire. And the people in the cave only see the shadows. They cannot see the reality. So, and their whole life, so they believe the shadows are reality. And even if you free them, and they will go out and they will see the sun and the whole world, they will be blinded by so much light, they want to go back in the cave. They're not even interested. And this is something, it's quite a nice analogy, because Baba talks also that we are not aware of reality. We are bound into the body, and we see the world through our senses, which is the eyes, the ears, the taste buds, and so on. But these are only reflections of reality. And in order to see reality, you have to open the third eye. You know, you have to open the third eye, and you see everything is vibration, everything is energy, everything is light. You will see the aura of people, and suddenly you will see the reality this year, and you will not see the shadows. And Plato said, you have to become a philosopher. A philosopher in those days was a scientist. And a philosopher, with the help of mathematics and some others, I think of the science of forms, geometry, you have to find out what is reality. And this is also the basis and the foundation why science is looking. And this is also why you are looking and why you came to Baba, because we all want to see not the shadows, we want to see reality. So, this is a very nice analogy. This is very funny. So, good. Now we got it. So what happened is, there was always a holistic worldview in old days. In India was a holistic worldview. Most of the societies had a holistic worldview. Sometimes a bit, you know, wrong and dumb and distorted. But it was nevertheless holistic. And one believed in God, Supreme Being, and so many things, and in the soul, and so on. And then around 250 years, the mechanistic worldview came in. And there was a famous guy, his name was René Descartes. He said, cogito ergo sum, I am, so I think, so I am. And they invented the modern worldview, and they say this was Descartes and Newton also who invented modern mathematics, and they could Francis Bacon and many others, and they brought the worldview which started to dominate, that everything is mechanistic. If you do something here, ping, something there will happen. You have an action and a reaction, and the soul doesn't exist, and Supreme Being doesn't exist, and all this subtleness doesn't exist because you cannot see it, you cannot grasp it. And this mechanistic worldview reduced our interaction with nature completely, and we observed, or we see nature as an object to exploit, you know, not to live in harmony with it. So the guy there, you can see, starts cutting trees. That's also the time, you know, when we invented steam, when we started digging the coal, when the Industrial Revolution happened. This all happened 200 years ago, 250 years ago, it all started. And then Newton came, and this was a big revolution, because with the Newton laws of gravity, you could calculate the movement of the stars. Imagine what a revolution. Suddenly you could calculate this, the ecliptic of the sun and the earth and the other stars. And with Kepler came up the planetary worldview. And so this was a big, big, big dramatic change. But the holistic worldview got lost. And a lot of connection to the world, a lot of insight got lost. And this mechanistic worldview is dominating our worldview up today. And we are grown up with it. We learned it, which was our bread and butter when we were young in school. It's the mechanistic worldview. And so then Newton invented the theory of gravity. I'll now give you a very brief history of science, because that's important to understand why, what is the contrast of Gyan towards modern scientific worldview. So first was Newton. He came up with a theory of gravity, and he could explain the motion of planets. Then Einstein later came and formulated the general relativity theory, which led to the Big Bang theory, black holes, and even the atomic bomb. This is based on Einstein's relativity theory. However, in the late 1920s, they found out that this mechanistic law of gravity in Einstein's relativity theory is not correct always. Some stars, they didn't behave as they should behave. And also when you look in atoms, in the small particles, in the microscopic world, you couldn't see that it didn't work. And this was the time when they came up, when all these famous scientists like Max Planck, Niels Bohr, Louis de Broglie, Max Born, Werner Heisenberg, Wolfgang Pauli, Erwin Schrödinger, and Richard Feynman. These are names you might have heard here and there, one or the other name. They're all, most of them got Nobel Prizes and so on. They came up in the 1920s with quantum mechanics. And quantum mechanics was a new way to observe things, to calculate things, and it helped them to explain how atoms are behaving, how are some of the stars are behaving, and it explained things where the old worldview, mechanistic worldview, where Newton's mechanistic worldview or laws could not help any longer. And the quantum mechanics basically is the study of matter and its interaction with energy on the atomic and subatomic level. And quantum mechanics brought us computers, chips, all electronics. All this is by quantum mechanics. However, it's in contrast to classical physics. And classical physics explains matter on a large scale, like rotation of stars, the sun, and all these kind of things, and is very useful in much of modern science and technology. But now the problem is relativity and quantum mechanics are fundamentally different theories. They have different formulations. It's not just a matter of science terminology, it's a clash of genuinely incompatible descriptions of reality. It's a clash of two different worldviews. Why is that so? I have here a very famous experiment. This is called the double slit experiment. And this was actually one of the experiments which triggered the development of quantum technology. And some of the scientists said this is the one of the most important experiments in the world. It was done in the late 20s. And what they did is, they wanted to find out what is the nature of light. Is it a particle, or is nature a wave? So what do you think? Who believes light is a particle, or light is a wave? Who believes that light is a wave? Anybody? Okay. And who believes that light is a particle? Okay, 1, 2, 3. You're not correct, both of you. Because if you observe the experiment, light is behaving like a particle. And if you not observe the experiment, light flips and behaves as a wave. And this was the problem, because with relativity or Newton, you cannot explain that. The problem is that light can behave as a particle and as a wave. and that even at the same time. And this is what is called a particle which is in superstition. Superposition. He's superpositioned. He is both at the same time. Only when you observe it, one option collapses and you have either a particle or a wave. And this is so crazy. You know, they say that quantum physics is very difficult to understand. They made recently an experiment, I think it was in Austria a couple of years ago, which was all over the news, because they created a particle in Austria, and they created the same particle 500 kilometers away at the same time. It was the same particle at both places in one. Literally impossible. Very difficult to understand. That's quantum physics. Very weird. But the formulas are very good, because you can build supercomputers, you can build electronics, all electronics, everything on the small scale is based on, all our inventions are based on quantum mechanics. So, and then of course they enlarged it, they went into quantum field, quantum consciousness, there's even quantum mysticism, and there's a lot of discussion now going on if the mind is connected to all of this. However, there's also the idea going on if we have many universes. You know, you heard about the multiverse? You heard about it? Multiple universes? What does it mean is that as a particle can be in two positions at the same time, whenever you take a decision, it's called a quantum event, the reality splits in two. And you have two events. And you have two universes. They then develop separately. Now, in this Marvel Comics films, which are now the heroes, they jump from one universe to the other. That's the background of this idea. Multiple universes. And as per quantum physics, they should exist. So, there's not only one Brahma Kumaris. There's also many Brahma Kumaris in many universes. And they're all slightly different. Because since 5,000 years, we create different universes with every decision. Isn't that mind-boggling? And this is what science is all about. They have conferences, they have mathematical formulas, and so on. And a whole world is around all these kind of ideas. There's also the there's also the string theory. The string theory is so complicated I didn't understand it. So I don't explain to you because I didn't understand. Sometimes people explain things they don't understand, but I can't do that. So so there's so many ideas and discussions going on, and I saw a discussion on YouTube between three people, and they're all following different theories, and oh my God, they're going at each other, really, you know. Like the one guy says, no, it's like this, clack, 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 because of this, this, this. The other lady said, no. Mathematically, this is not right. And then came the third one and said, guys, it's totally different. You know? So it's very, and one guy was a Nobel laureate, you know, so it was a high-level discussion. And it was quite mind-boggling. And what is very, very interesting is that all these discussions and theories are based out of body conscious. And these people do not have Gyan. They do not understand God. They do not, mostly they do not accept God. And they do not understand that they are souls. So this is something very, very important to understand. A fundamental part is missing in all of that. So the race is going on for the unified field theory. This is the theory which explains everything. Huh? From the law of nature, where we come from and where we go. Well, they don't yet know that Brahma Kumaris is in possession of the unified field theory, and it is with us. They just have to come and we can tell them what is reality. So, now I have a good question for you. Do you know what is reality? What is our reality we're living right now in this body and in body conscious? Do you know it? Do you know how many dimensions our reality has? It's not complicated. You know, we have one dimension is left or right. Huh? It's one dimension, left or right. One other dimension is forward and backward. Right? And the next one is upwards, downwards. So we have three dimensions. Huh? Am I right? But something is missing. What's missing? Oh, you're good. Time is missing. Wow, look. You're a physicist. No. You studied. Ah, she studied. She knows time is missing. So, we have the fourth dimension, time. What is called space-time. Time-space continuum. And how does it look like? It's the world drama. Three dimensions and space. In space and time. It's very easy to understand this. See? Here's the observer. We're sitting here. We have space. One dimension. Second dimension. Third dimension. And then time is passing by. And we have one moment after the other. Cluck, 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 cluck. Because time is ticking. Huh? And each moment is different from the other. And this is called the drama. And the light, the time, is measured by light. Because it's the speed of light. 300,000 kilometers per second. So light is passing through, and we are sitting here and we are observing. We are the observer there. And all the time, we are bound, we are caught, we are imprisoned in the space-time continuum. This is the drama, and we take 64 births. We take 84 births in space-time continuum. The moment the drama starts, we have space, this world, front, rear, left, right, up, down, and time is ticking. Baba says, time is ticking like a louse, tick, 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 very slowly, but it's ticking, continuous. And they together create the drama in which we interact. And each moment is the next one. And we cannot bring the moment which has passed by back. We can only anticipate the future. But the moment it's happening in the reality, that's it. It becomes past. And this brings us to a very interesting analogy. Because Baba many times says, there is a moment when space-time stops. You know, Baba says, the drama is like a film. Have you heard it? That Baba says, drama is like a film. And you go in a cinema. And then what you do when the film is ending, when the film is over, the reel has been played, what you do? No, with the film. What is the guy who plays the film, what is he doing when the film stops? Rewind. You rewind it. So there's a moment when you stop the film. Am I right? The film stops. The reel is over. And then you have to rewind it, put it back, and start it again. So there is a moment when this wheel of the film reel is not turning. And this is the moment, in science they have a beautiful name, you know it? Oh, come on. It's called the singularity. You heard about it. Singularity. That's the Big Bang. You heard about Big Bang? This is the most common theory about the beginning of the universe. So science in the 1960s or 70s, they did some calculation and they found out actually that the universe is expanding all the time. It's expanding. They could measure some stars and they could see they're expanding and expanding and expanding. So they said, oh my God, it's expanding. And they immediately applied mathematics and they could calculate the speed, the velocity, blah, blah, blah. And they said, 13.2 billion years ago, the universe must have been in a point, which is here. That's when everything begins. This is a point of incredible dense matter. There's no expansion. There's no space. There's no space in that point, in that singularity. And there's no time. No space and no time. Baba has given a name for that. You can achieve that stage in meditation. This is a Hindi word now. Who knows it? Which is the stage in meditation where there is no space and no time? Speak loud. No? Yes, the seed state. Bindu. The Bindu stage. Baba spoke in the 80s, a whole set of mulis on the Bindu stage. If you Google, you will find it. I think 8 mulis on the seed stage. And he says in the seed stage, everything is there. Everything is there. Have you ever experienced seed stage? Anybody has hands up? Very little, little. Little is not possible, either fully or nothing. Okay, good, good. Okay, couple of hands went up, very nice. In the seed stage, time stops and space stops. You don't even know where you are. You're in Paramdham up with Bab Dada. And Baba says, there you are in peace, peace and silence. That's the seed stage. And then comes creation. We give drishti, and matter explodes and creates a physical universe. That's the Big Bang. Imagine. See this? This is expanding and contracting. Quite beautiful, no? Okay. So there's a famous Nobel laureate, Sir Roger Penrose. He is a former Oxford professor. And he comes up with a new perspective of the universe. And he says, actually, he was doing calculations what happened before the Big Bang and what comes at the end when the Big Bang has fully expanded. And he applied mathematics. It's pretty complicated. I only understood the introduction in an article in The Guardian which summarizes his idea. The book itself, I have not much of a chance. So he says that when the universe expands, it will expand and expand and expand and expand until mathematically all matter has been expanded into nothingness. And then there won't be any more energy. And when there will be no more energy, there will be no more movement. And when there's no more movement, time will stop. It's all mathematics. And when time stops, matter will collapse. And he says, then another matter will collapse and another Big Bang will happen. So he says, he calls it an eon, an age. So he says, it's one age, Big Bang, to the next one, endless Big Bangs after endless Big Bangs. This is his theory. He's quite famous. He calls it cyclic cosmology. The beginning and the end of the universe are in effect the same. Isn't that interesting? Because what Baba tells us, the drama is identical repeating. So, this is tough stuff, huh? Should we have a meditation for a couple of minutes? So, I would like that we all meditate or contemplate on the idea, I'm a point, and I'm collapsing space and time. I go into the seed stage. All right, let's have a meditation. I'm concentrating myself in the forehead. Bit music, red light. Makes it easier. I concentrate myself in the forehead. And I connect to Baba. I'm withdrawing all attention away from this world. I'm drawing attention away from this body. I am a point of light, and sit in the middle of my forehead. This is the seed stage. All my strength, all my powers are within. I'm floating in Paramdham. To the moment. I stop the past. I stop the future. I stop time. This is the most powerful moment. This is the end of all and the beginning of all. I am the Master. Slowly, I'm coming back into this body, into this room. I switch on time and switch on space again. Om Shanti. So, this was a little journey into that stage of being a seed. And of course, it's quite tricky because we have to free ourselves of all attachments and the karma to fly that high. So that's why it takes a moment of time and the experience might be not complete. So, anybody would like to share something? Yes? You have to shout, I can't hear you. Or if you come here, there's a microphone. Yes. She was thinking the particle is the soul and the wave is time. Okay. Okay, share a thought, some visualization. Anybody likes to share something? Because we come to next chapter. Yes, brother? Well, see, the it's a question of your observation. If you go in meditation and you go in the seat stage, you literally stop time. If you're in the perfect seat stage, you stop time. If you come into the body conscious and you come into space-time, where we are now here, time is running automatically. You cannot do anything. So it's a question of your observation. Baba says the aim is that more and more you come into seat stage. And he says at the end we're all going to leave the body. We're all going to leave this realm. Huh? Okay. All right. So, yes? I'm coming to that. Of course. Of course. Yes, 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 yes. See, time is, they found also something that time is not running everywhere at the same speed. So that's why they have these atomic clocks and all this. And it is a phenomenon that some people believe that time is running very fast or time is running very short. And you have a meditation, it's 1 hour and suddenly it feels like 5 minutes. You know, so there are, I think you can stretch with your consciousness. There's an interaction, you know. But we're all number-wise and in the ability to do so and experience to do so. Okay, let's go on because I have still many things to share with you. So here, Daddy Junkie, our superhero. You all met Daddy? Huh? She's a superhero, huh? Very special. She had lots of powers. And she helped many times in projects, and I was lucky to have good interaction with her. And we dearly miss her. And she spoke once about karma, and that influenced me a lot. I never forget that when she explained karma. And she said it very nicely. She said, there are three signs of karma. The first sign is you want something desperately, and it does not happen. You want to become a famous singer. Actually, I can sing quite good, you know, but somehow, just when I was 24, I came in contact with these Brahma Kumaris. Just my career as a singer was just taking off, you know, and then I came in Gyan and they told me, leave it, leave it, leave it, leave it. No, I'm joking. So you know, you want to become famous, you want to become rich, you want to become good in an instrument or this and that, and it doesn't happen. You have this experience, you want something, it doesn't work out. Who has this experience? Hands up. Yeah, you must have this experience. You want something, it doesn't work out. Karma. Karma blocks you. Karma stops you. The second sign is suddenly something happens to you. You are walking and there's a banana leaf and you see the banana leaf. And you say, I'm not stupid. I will not step on that banana leaf and break my leg. So you sidestep. But you didn't look up. There was a person just dropping a bucket with water down. And it hits you. And you land up also in the hospital. You know? So suddenly something happens. You get sick. You have an accident. You know, suddenly, clack. And something happens to you. You have this experience? No? Welcome to the world of karma. And the third one is, you're suffering from interaction with relatives or friends. Happens to you? Especially with the Brahmins in the center. You know, when I came in Gyan, I saw all these other Brahmins, and I said, they all look a little bit weird. You know? Strange people. Where have landed? And I said, no problem. I'll mix them all up. You know, I was young in Gyan, innocent. I had no clue. I didn't know about Brahmins and their behavior. Now, after 39 years, I'm more wise. Yes, I have acquired certain wisdom, but I'm yet not perfect. Still, sometimes Brahmins come up with something in front of me and I'm stunned. I think, how can they do that? How could that person say that? I'm still not fully beyond. You know, that's karma. With relatives, we are quite often quite good. You know, parents have died or no more or this and that, and we are detached a long time. But with friends, with Brahmins, it's quite another story. So, Daddy told us, become an angel. Transform the old karma. Be loving and compassionate. Be a healer to the world. Be a guide to the light. And the Daddies were so good examples when karma came, how they dealt with it. You know, like sometimes no money, sometimes they got sick, you know, or sometimes some bad thing happened in Yagya. And I have many times seen how the Daddies were managing so beautifully. You know, they were unshakable, unguarded. So, this brings us now to a question. Am I actually free in my action, or I'm bound by the karma? And as the drama anyhow is repeating identically, the big question, do I have a free will, or is everything determined? Audience, please, speak up. That was my answer. So, what do you believe? We have a free will, or everything is determined? Who said this? Okay, you said it, everything. Everything is bound by circumstances. But I'm the master of the circumstances. See, I can drink now some water, or I can leave it. So I'm the master. See, now I like to drink. Ta-ta, ta-ta, ta-ta. No, I don't drink. Yes, I drink. Man, but it was my free decision. I just took it. It's so good, the water. We have the power of choice. It's a paradoxon. You know? Baba says, you act freely until you have recorded the act. And once it is recorded, that's it. It's frozen. So I drank water. So I drank it 5,000 years ago. But until I drank it, I didn't know. Until I drank it, I had the choice. The free will. Come on, leave me a bit of free will also. No? It's important for us to believe we are in free will. And we have forgotten the last kalpa. So we have a free will. But it's important because the free will is important for us to exercise our three forms. What are our three forms? Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankar. So Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shankar is the destroyer. And Brahmins are very, very good in sustenance. Am I right? First of all, what are we sustaining? That's number one. Our bodies. We sustain our bodies. We eat. No? Don't forget to go to Bhojan. I will finish at 12:15. You have good time to go and then there will be nice Bhojan. We sustain our body. Then next is we sustain our bank account. Then we sustain, you have some money on bank account? Who's in minus? Anybody's in minus? That's bad karma. Don't want to see any hand going up. Good. So we're all in plus. So, we sustain all the time and then we sustain our center. Am I right? Who's sustaining the center? Yes, hands up. We're all sustaining our centers, no? We give money, body, and thoughts. Body, mind, and? Body, mind, and? Body, mind, and? Huh? Time is LC. You are the fifth. You are the fifth dimension. Okay. Here's the time. So these are the three forms, and we are very good in sustenance as our main occupation. And we've forgotten about creation, and we'll be a bit scared of destruction of Shankar, because destruction means also the end of our body, the end of the world. And we have these three aspects, and it's very important to understand that I have the free will to become a destroyer, and I have the free will to become a creator. I have this full potential with me. Nothing stops me to do it. Never think, oh, I cannot do this because I've done 5,000 years ago like that. Because then you lose momentum and you lose power. Think always that you have the free will and the choice, and that you are the master. Yes, but you don't know it until you've taken the decision. See, the wave function collapses only when you observe it. Observation means you take a decision. See, I can hit you with my laser beam, blink, blink, or I can leave it. It's my choice. This time I decided not to do it. Now I record it. So, you are the master of creation, sustenance, and destruction. And now we have to leave maintenance, sustenance. We have to leave the old world. Free yourself. Become detached and loving. Do what you have to do, but become loving and detached. And embrace fully Shankar. And when you say hello to Shankar, and you're no more scared of destruction, no more scared of death, then automatically Brahma will come and says, I'm at your service. And you will become a creator. That easy. And a wise guy once said, realize that everything connects to everything else. So, oh, now I have a meditation with you. Oh, I already forgotten it. Shankar is the guy in blue, and water comes out of his head, and he usually resides in the Himalayas. No, you should have the free will. You understand that you have free will to embrace and do whatever you have to do. You can embrace Shankar, you can embrace death, you can embrace creation, and we have to leave now the sustenance, the maintenance of this world, because we have to let it go. And you have the free will, proactive, to do that. You're not bound by 5,000 years what you did. Of course, once you do it, you record it, but until that moment you have the free decision. You know, that's motivates you also, is a big motivator that you have this free decision. So everything is connected to everything. Now I actually have a meditation with you, but we just meditated already. This was the meditation about the power of silence. Baba many times spoke about this power of silence and meditation, but we had traffic control and time is ticking. You want to go to Bojan. So in silence, many of your questions will be also answered. Recently, Baba was a book message in Pandak Pavan, the last, and Baba said, Baba told you many times about silence. It's now the time to go in silence. And silence also means that you bring time to a standstill, and that you come in that point, which is the most powerful, the Bindu stage. You collapse space-time, and that's the moment when the film is rewind. So now we don't meditate, we go to the mindset. Now, the big question is, somebody had the question, if the mindset, the thoughts have an impact. Yes. So what's our mindset? The mindset is our thoughts, emotions, feelings, visualizations, and that is always connected to the karma of the past. Imagine you have a computer, so the whole program is inside, and only when you start the computer, the content of the hard disk comes on the screen. It goes into the RAMs and the computer and the program, and it comes on the screen. That's our mindset. What comes on the screen? What comes from deep inside of us comes up. And what comes up is as per our personal program, which is influenced by the karma of the past. Now, the big question is our mind entangled with matter? Do we have a connection to matter? Who feels we are connected? Our mind has an impact in matter? Hands up. Okay. Quite a lot of hands go up, but quite some hands don't go up. I see. So, I give you some example now how mind is connected to matter. There's a very famous scientist. Her name is Ellen Langer. She's a professor at Harvard University, and she's a founder of positive psychology, studies the illusion of control, decision-making, aging, and mindfulness theory. So she did a very famous experiment called the counterclock experiment in 79. She took 10 old people into an old age house, and she wanted to prove that the mind has an impact on aging. So she put these 10 people in a house which was equipped in the design and the features of 1959. It means 20 years earlier. So the furniture was from the 59, the food was from 59, the television screen was from the series, the news which were played were from 59, the newspaper were from 59, and she asked these 10 people, these old people, to act as if they were living 1959, which they did. And she had another group of 10 people which she kept in a normal building, which was the same like before. After 1 week, she did a checkup, and the results were amazing, a bit shocking. You know, these old people, arthritis, walking on the stick, they started playing football in front of the house. And they felt, all of them said, I feel much younger and much better. Some of their chronic diseases had disappeared. And she took photos before and afterwards and showed these photos to other people, and they all thought they looked 2, 3, 4 years younger just because they thought they were living 20 years before. Can you imagine? So she found out that aging is happening in our mind to a great extent. You know, sometimes you see people, they are 65. Sometimes I see them and they look like 45. And you think, oh my God, he's looking so young. How is he doing that? And then sometimes you see people, they're 65, they look like 75, and you think, oh my God, why is she looking old? What happened to her? Yeah, you have this experience? No? So we're aging different speed. You know, and I never wanted to become old. So I decided not to become old. I'm 62, but still, age is creeping in. Anyhow, aging is a process of our mind. The size, the state of our mind, I feel young in my mind or I feel old in my mind, determines physical reality in the state of the disease and the aging of my body. Look, read Ellen Langer. She did another very famous experiment with crossword puzzle. She gave 25 students a positive crossword puzzle and 25 negative. Just give me some 2, 3 positive words, you know, for the crossword puzzle. Positive words? Love, very good. Happy? Enthusiasm, yeah. Why you didn't say it that loud from the beginning? So enthusiasm, yes, there's a good one. Say me some bad words, brothers, bad words. I want a couple of bad words. Anger, ugly. Oh, ugly is bad. Nobody wants to be ugly. I tell you, some diarrhea. That's a very bad word. Another one, hair loss. That's very bad, I tell you. You can come later to me. I have a very nice hair oil. It will help. So these are bad crossword puzzles. So she let them do it for 2 hours, and then she sent them in the next building on the third floor. But she didn't tell them that she has a camera, and she stopped the time. You know, and she sent one by one. And you know, can you imagine what happened? The people, the students, they were all young students with a bad crossword puzzle. When they walked slowly, and when they came to the stairs, they had to hold them at the railing and walked up like old people. Whilst those with a positive crossword puzzle, and they took, they went up. Double the time. Those with a bad crossword puzzle. And they acted like old, like sick, like totally out of energy. Just 2 hours, good words and bad words. Because their mind was in the crossword puzzle, they were thinking to find these words, you know, and they were all bad words or they were all good words. So their mind was occupied positively or negatively. Can you imagine what an impact? So the mind has a massive impact. You heard about our yogic farming? Okay, so we meditate with the seeds. Love, compassion, you're very good. These are the results. Organic, yogic, chemical. So these are the biggest and the most tasty. I love you, you're very good. Nothing will happen. Here the same with the wheat. With meditation and without meditation. You see the difference? This is so good now, our yogic farming, our agriculture wing, farmers wing, is doing now 60 farms. They select 60 farms where they want to do this. And we work with the government. The government is very interesting to implement this yogic farming. There's a web page. So, power of thoughts in physical systems. And there are many experiments with water crystals, healing through prayer, biophotons and so on. So there have been many experiments done by universities over the years where they prove your mind has a massive impact in physical reality. So a new paradigm is required. And the new paradigm says my inner world and the outer world are interconnected. My inner world, what I feel, my emotions, they mirror in the outer world. And there's this Matrix film, you might have seen it, where Morpheus comes and says to the poor guy, you take the blue pill or you take the red pill. If you take the blue pill, you will sleep on, and if you take the red pill, you will wake up to reality. So, what did Baba do? He gave us the red pill and we wake up to reality. We're immortal souls, beings of light. And the body is a mirage. And this world is a mirage. It's a projection. So, now if this inner world is so important, how to bring change? There's a lot of scientific evidence of meditation. You know, this mindfulness becomes such a big topic in the last years. You read it everywhere now, and everywhere is a meditation column in every newspaper now, you know, and in the television also they have this meditation things. It becomes quite popular. A lot of scientific evidence on meditation. They did studies. They found out if you meditate regular, it increases social competence. You love yourself. You love others. You're ready to do something. It deepens relaxation, improves health, increases brain cells and activities, which is very important, because by the age of 25, your brain starts decaying. You know, the gray brain matter, the cells, they start dying. And the body cannot reproduce brain cells. Your body cannot reproduce brain cells and nerve cells. Very difficult. So, when you meditate, it increases brain cells and activity, and this is quite revolutionary. And they found that out, and they were quite shocked. And that helps you to change habits and awareness. And this helps you to change your old karma. Because your old karma is stored and manifests in form of habits. I like this, I don't like that, I want this, I don't want that. This is old karma, which is stored in your subconscious in form of habits or sanskaras. And meditation helps you to build new highways in your brain. The highway of love, the highway of compassion. And you free yourself of the highway of anger, the highway of ego. Slowly, slowly, they become weak, they disappear. And you create new neuronal networks. Very important, neural networks. There's a lot of articles on that. You can have a look on mind-matter interference and so on. You can read them and you can meditate. So, meditation and a change of thoughts are cooling the minds and create a new reality and a better world. So what we have to do? First is we should think positive on us. I'm very good, I'm very healthy, I'm a super yogi hero, I'm Baba's child, I'm a point of light, everything will become good. Then, once you master that, you think positive on others. Usually you should do that at Amrit Vela. Bless yourself, because you put the foundation for the day. Then you start thinking positive on others, and then you start healing the world. Huh? Easy. Huh? Bless yourself, bless others, bless the world. Emerge the world. Because my thoughts, they travel into physical reality, and physical reality exists because I observe it and I sustain it. Because Baba said we are masters. And Mahatma Gandhi says, always be harmonious in your thoughts, words and deeds. Have pure thoughts and everything will be well. So, how to heal yourself and heal the world. Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Knowledge is limited, while imagination embraces the whole world. So, what should we do? We should imagine our perfect world. Baba often says, imagine paradise, Satyuga, and what you will do there. Do you sometimes do that? Think about paradise? Who is doing that? Okay, yes. I think you are from paradise. I have this feeling you are from there. So we visualize paradise and Baba tells us, remember what you did, what role you played in paradise, and remember your perfect form in paradise. You are deity. Huh? So, what is most important in paradise? Dum, da, dum, dum. You see, in the middle, it's love. That's the most important. That's the biggest power. You love yourself. You love others. Also those Brahmins which you never would love, but you also love them. You love the world. And then everything will be good. And peace will come, harmony, beauty, perfection, bliss, purity, prosperity, happiness, and timelessness. In Satyuga and Golden Age, I think we don't run behind the clock. We're timeless. We're free of bondage of time. And it's a just world. So these are the topics which we should have in our visualization process. We should play with them. Baba also tells us often when you meditate, create some newness in your meditation. No? Meditate in with some new concepts, some new ideas, and visualize yourself somewhere here. Visualize yourself as an angel. Visualize yourself flying over the world. Whatever. Visualize yourself in subtle region. Because by that, you open the door towards experiencing that. If you think this is not going to happen, this is not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But if you think this is going to happen and I am that, it's going to happen. So very important, our own thoughts and our own visions do create reality. That's what Baba is telling us. We are the masters of the world. We are, Baba says many times, the clock of that world, the clock of time is with the Brahmin children. You have heard it in the mulis? Baba says the time is with you. You're the master of time. And you're the master of the three worlds. And you're junior almighty children of the Supreme Being. So Baba gives us so fantastic titles. And Baba actually indicates and tells us that our mindset, our vision, our observation is creating reality as we see it. And the whole process now is to come back into that seed stage. Because in that seed stage you stop the time and you stop the three dimensions and we collapse for a tiny fraction of a moment reality. And that opens the space for creation. Everything will be new. It will be not only new earth, but you think we're getting a new moon also? Or we keep the old moon? Who wants to keep the old moon? It's not bad. You want to keep the old moon? Okay. Who wants to keep a new moon? See, at the moment the moon has many potholes from asteroids. It doesn't look very nice. And we send all these missiles and orbiters and they're ready. And the flag is there from the Americans. So next kalpa they don't find it. So it must be a new moon. Huh? What about the sun? Who wants a new sun? Or who wants to keep the old sun? So who wants a new sun? One hand, two, three, four, okay. 30% wants it. Who wants to keep the old sun? One, two, some hands, and others, they are playing safe. You know, I did that in school many times, you know. I said, like, I didn't say anything, you know. Of course we're getting a new sun. Of course. See, our sun is now very disturbed. Shots a lot of sun flares and is very active, you know. And the sun is a huge fusion reactor. It's a fusion reactor. And it's burning fuels. I think helium is burning at a high rate. So a time will come, the sun will become a supernova. And then it will explode and then the black star, a black dwarf it will become, it will collapse. So I spoke to Neville from Oxford, he's a science journalist, and he told me, we need a new sun. Otherwise after 5,000, 10,000 kalpas, 100,000 kalpas, the sun would burn out. You know, imagine we're in kalpa so, number so and so in the far, far future, and suddenly the sun will start flickering. And we say, oh Baba, the sun needs urgently refueling. So we're getting a new sun. Don't worry, we're getting a whole new universe. Whatever we see with our eyes is our creation. A whole universe. This is at us. So, I've taken you through a lot of stuff. And now it's time for meditation. To forget all that and go and experience. So we have time for bhojan. Let's go. Little music. Some red light. Red light. Red light. Lal. Good. Om Shanti. So we heard so many ideas and concepts, what science has done, what Baba is telling us, and now we're forgetting everything, empty our mind, we stop our thoughts. I connect to Baba. I am his child. Baba, I'm yours, and you are mine. Beautiful vibration comes to me. Peace, love, happiness. I realize I'm a traveler through this drama. I'm a traveler through space and time. 84 births are coming to an end. This planet, the moon, the sun, the universe has become old. I realize it's time to let go. I let go. I become a point. I stop space and I stop time. I am in the present. I'm visualizing a perfect, beautiful world. A beautiful moon, a sun, a beautiful universe. I did this last kalpa also. It's nothing new. I give drishti to this old world. Slowly I change it into the new beautiful Satyuga. Baba is the director and I am his near and dear helper. With our thoughts, with our feelings, we create Satyuga, our true home, the world of perfection, the world of beauty. This is my task, to let go the old and create the new. Nothing to fear, nothing to worry. I am under the protection of the Supreme. Beautiful vibrations. How lucky I am. Om Shanti. So, time is short. You know, we didn't compress it enough with our consciousness, so it's already 12:30. I have taken you through a tour of science about the cycle, about karma, about drama, and put it a bit in context of some scientific finding, and bit scratch the surface what is our role and what we have to do in the future. And we have the most beautiful task. We are in the mega, mega, mega adventure film, and we are the superheroes, and we play the best part. So we should be happy, having a smile on the face for the rest of the day, and nothing really should bother us. So, we have created also a new platform called Yogis for Future. You can go there, it's on Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. And we have a web page, and you can go there, 150 meditation commentaries, a bit neutral for non-BKs, which we give to all those desperate people at the climate conference. And they are 5 to 10 minutes long by our superhero meditation guidance teachers, Jenti Ben, Karen from Australia, all the good ones are there, and use it and share it. And these are our web pages. I'm also active in the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and we promote renewable energies, solar energies. You've seen we all have a lot of solar here, and we also promote on the conferences this change on the inside. We also promote a green lifestyle for the centers. We have guidelines for the centers, ideas for the centers, and there's a lot of resource material, interviews, workshops, how to go green, how to become environmental friendly. It's a big topic, and it's a good service field. So I bombarded you with lots of information. Now, my humble request is, please forget it all and meditate. And in meditation, maybe one or the other aspect may surface because you heard it, and it will pop up. And experiment in meditation. So your meditation will become attractive. It will become interesting. And you will run always with a smile on your face. I go every evening in History Hall in Pandavavan. That's usually my experimentation ground. And sometimes in my mind I play with universes, with moons, refueling the sun and bending time, collapsing space, all these kind of ideas. So it's good fun. After 38 years, I still look forward to the evening meditation. That's good. So, I hope you got inspired, and thank you very much. Om Shanti.